All right, we will reconvene the regular assembly meeting for Tuesday, March 14, 2023. Call to order, please, and we will have a roll call, please.
Yes, assembly members Robbins. Morrison.
Yes.
Ryan Howe.
Yep.
Dalrymple.
Here.
David Powell.
Here.
DeBoer.
Here.
And Mayor Gilbert.
Here. And let's have a pledge of allegiance led by assembly member Morrison.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. All right, persons to be heard. All right, we have no persons to be heard. Amendments to the agenda. Any assembly member have any amendments? All right, seeing none, conflict of interest. Assembly member have a conflict of interest on any item on the agenda? All right, seeing none, consent agenda.
Move to approve this consent agenda as submitted.
Second.
Okay, motion by Morrison, second by Powell. Any discussion? Poll vote, please.
Assembly members Ryan Howe. Assembly member Howe. You're on mute, Ryan.
Voting on the consent agenda. Okay, maybe circle back to him.
Okay. Dalrymple?
Yes.
David Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Robbins? Yes. Morrison?
Yes.
Assembly Member Howe?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Thank you. Borough Manager's report, please.
Yes, Madam Mayor. So I attended the CEPA meeting this week. It was hosted in Wrangell at the Nolan Center on March 8th through the 10th. And the board agreed to enter into contract negotiations with Robert Seidman for the CEO position. So we'll do that over the next couple of weeks as far as that negotiation. We also had the opportunity to tour the Tyhee Hydro facility and discuss the operations and maintenance of that facility. And I took some pictures of the trip, so I'll post those on my borough manager report as well. And so, if you haven't had a chance to look at it, it's an impressive facility. There's also a YouTube video on the construction of Tyhee.
Oh.
So if you just type in Tyhee Hydro Facility, it's just impressive what they did when they constructed that facility out there. So it's a pretty good video to look at. Although it is the 1980s VHS. So. I'll be attending the Northwest Manager Meeting, which will be hosted by the Alaska Municipal Managers Association in Fairbanks, March 28th to 30th. And I'll be coordinating the discussions on the impacts of the opening of the Arctic and that what it has on tourism and national security. So that'll be the panel discussion I'll be in charge of. I had a discussion with the IBEW on their apprenticeship program for linemen. The cost of the program is $5,000 per year and requires an 8-week on-site training in Anchorage or Fairbanks each year of a 3-year program. If we provide this training, we will require a payback for the individual we would like to send, but it is a really good program. And what we've kind of been doing before, we've had difficulty in the past documenting all the hours, making sure it's all done, and then it's mainly been open, like people taking, you know, book courses and then taking courses online. So I'm not sure if we're getting the value out of that. I think if we go through this IBEW course, it's a certified course, and I think it would be good for us to go through this program and actually do it. So I'm going to probably move forward, and we'll probably include it in the budget as well, kind of moving forward to have this course done for the new apprentice we have at Wrangell Light Power. Muskeg Meadows approved transferring over required properties in the city and borough at their board meeting to enable the city and borough to lease the land from DOT, pending a long-term sublease back to Muskeg Meadows to operate the golf course. So I'll be working on that myself and Carol We'll be working on that lease agreement and making sure we get the paperwork filled out and get it submitted, and we'll start that process.
And no money is exchanged, correct? Right. Well, it doesn't cost the city any money?
It will cost the city any money. If there are any fees, then we will pass that on to Muskegon Hills. But okay. Yeah, for us, we won't. We'll pass any fees onto the golf course.
Okay.
The 65% design cost estimate for the pool siding it's estimated around $258,000. I think we had $175,000 in the budget. So just for the base part that we had before, which was the lower portion, getting that done, and then just rehabbing the top part, is around $170,000 additional. Actually, it's $75,000 additional, and then it'd be additional $137,000 on top of that for a total of $395,609, which is $220 above the budgeted amount. I would, whenever we do get that back, and this is just a 65% design, but I would like to do all of it at once, because I just fear if we just do half, like the lower half, it's already going to be above. But if we just do that lower half, we're going to be coming back here in 5 to 10 years for the upper half. If we try to just sand it down and repaint it and repair it.
Okay. And will you, for our next meeting, will you have those figures? And
whenever we get the 100% design and then we put it out to bid, then we'll know. Once we put out the bid, we will know what the full dollar value is. This is just a 65% estimate from the designer.
Okay.
So we don't know what the full cost is going
to
be.
Can I see a nod of heads? We want the whole thing done, correct?
I'd like to see it cost it out.
Yeah. See it cost, yeah. Okay.
And we do have that breakdown, which we can get to the assembly, and I can post it as well, as far as what the estimates are.
Okay.
For you. I can send that to you. Had a pretty good, and once I post this report, we had all of our training that was conducted this past week. So we got, and I got kind of a list of all the training: confined space entry, HAZWOPER, shoring, forklift, and then flagging. We are going to do, I think, some follow-up training on HAZWOPER and I believe confined space as well. So, but good training and definitely good for our folks to start making sure we have the safety training we need to continue to operate. As I kind of mentioned during the work session, P&D was on site this week to complete an inspection for the T-Dock. And then they also did complete some inspections for some of our other docks as well. And then we had someone dive on some of our other facilities as well, just to get a look at the underwater inspections of all those different areas. Because one thing we want to make sure is we have pretty nice facilities, and the ones we have, other than probably Dana Harbor, but we want to make sure that we're keeping up with maintenance. That includes making sure we have those inks and anodes in there. So, but we did get a pretty good report. Steve left, but a good report from the T-Dock. So I think we will have to replace some zincs in there, but overall they said it looked really good. So it's a good report back from that. And
if we could do that annually.
What we'd like to do.
At least.
Yeah, we'd hopefully get a degradation curve on what those anodes are doing, and then that'll give us, so if we can do this maybe every 3 to 5 years and get to kind of get that curve as far as what the depletion rate is for our anodes, then that'll give us a better recurring maintenance program that we can build up. We kind of know exactly when we're going to need to replace them, build that into the budget, and that'll help Mason build up the long-term budget as well for water maintenance.
That's very important.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. And then, so our water treatment plant right now, we're having some significant issues with our ozone generator right now. So we've lost one generator completely, and the other one we're trying to utilize it the best we can. We have two ozone generators. We're trying to fast track those repairs as fast as we can. I think we maybe have an idea of what it could be, but we're not for sure. We're trying to reach back to Sweden to talk to the manufacturer there. I'm not sure if they got back today or not.
No, but I do have an update on this. But we give that.
Can I go ahead and
do you mind, now? Assembly? We're going to talk about this. Go ahead. I looked this up, and our, the first ozone generator we purchased in 2016 for a little over 202,000, and then the second one 2017 for 211,000. But in 2017, the ozone generator of 2016 was faulty, so they replaced that one at the same time at no cost to us. So am I correct in assuming that both generators are the 2017 model?
I believe so, yes.
Okay. All right. So just a little background for the assembly. Okay.
Yeah. So the issue that I'm discussing here right now is separate, actually, from the budget amendment that is in the agenda packet. And so yesterday, the PLC on generator one stopped communicating with the mini steps and the reactors within the machine. And we did have a spare PLC on the shelf. We tried to plug that one in. Still the same issues. Tried to turn it off, reset it, tried to purge the machine. We tried to change out a number of the mini steps. We're still having the same issue. So it's seemingly a communication issue between the PLC and the components within the machine. I don't know if that's a wiring harness or what that could be. That's what we're trying to figure out right now. On that though, you know, we're running two compressors on one generator, which allows us to produce enough ozone to be able to treat water right now. But part of the problem of what we saw today is running that one machine harder, it overheats more, it shuts down more, and so the machine's being pretty finicky. So we're going to probably try and bring a technician here tomorrow, because this is kind of a big problem for us, and it's a stop and fix. We need to figure out what's going on here. So likely we're going to try to bring a technician here tomorrow and see where that goes. We did get a little communication back today from Sweden. Of course, there's, you know, the communication delay on that, and we got a little bit of information. We tried a few more things, but we're going to have someone go there in the middle of the night tonight, basically to check to make sure that the thing's still running. Because from what we saw today, we need to be checking on it regularly.
Yeah, we talked about this at one assembly meeting, and I even downloaded technical stats in the book, and these things are finicky.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's modular designed, and
and I'd be happy to go into more depth for anybody who may not remember some of the history or anything like that, but I was going to talk about specifically the mini steps and the reactors, which are the components that the PLC talks to. That's what's actually in the budget amendment for tonight.
Right.
But starting yesterday, we have a new problem that's happening in between those two things.
Okay, yeah. This needs to be attended to immediately.
Yes.
Yeah, especially when you don't have one down totally, yeah, and just one operating. Okay, thanks.
All right, for the garage, we kind of went through all of our vehicles, and 70 of the 128 pieces of equipment are either at or beyond their useful lifespan. So another 8 are within 2 years of the manufacturer's lifespan. So what we're going to try to do is build out a plan over the next 5 to 10 years and then just start kind of chipping away at some of these vehicles.
Yeah, yes, assembly member.
Could you repeat that again? Out of
70 out of 128.
70 out of 128.
And one year we had the full list, remember that? And there were some ancient numbers on that list, and they're just getting older and older. Okay.
So we'll try to prioritize and then, you know, try to fit that within the budget. I mean, obviously we can't afford to do all of those in the next 5 years, so we'll have to just kind of build out a plan and then kind of prioritize what we think we can get by with and what we can't.
Right.
This is where depreciation would have helped.
Yes.
20, 30 years ago.
Right. And so I did talk to the mayor a little bit. We do want to try to get a letter out for our congressionally directed spending, and would like to get the mayor to sign it. Basically just kind of in support of the projects we're looking at for our congressionally directed spending, which is the Wrangell Public Safety Building renovations. We're requesting $10.5 million for that. The diesel generator power plant rehabilitation, $10 million for that. And then the wastewater treatment plant, disinfection facility for $5 million. So those are the three projects we're putting forward for the congressionally directed spending. And it's each one of those are on a different board, so it's not like they're trying to defend the same one in the same panel. So.
Okay, and this is the old earmarks.
Correct.
Okay. Any comment, Assembly?
And then, do you have an economic development?
Yes, we have an economic development report.
You have my report in there. I can answer any questions, but I want to just touch on a few things. Planning and Zoning Commission has
probably the microphone so the listening public can hear you.
Oh, okay. I forgot about the microphone. Okay, so I don't want to touch on a few of them. The Planning and Zoning Commission has been working on a slew of new codes to address some needs within the community. There will be some that will be coming to you in April. They're going to be staggered, but these are two new. It's a single-family medium density and a rural commercial. New zones, both of them, that they're proposing to be at the Institute. The Institute, former Institute property, Aldertop Village, needs to be rezoned because it's currently in holding. And we've been moving forward with the residential development, and we're going back to the master plan and working on sort of what was proposed in that and developing the codes for it. So that will be coming to you in April. They had a public hearing last week on it, and so we're just we're finalizing that, and we'll get that to you in April. The visitor industry by the numbers report, I've reviewed the first draft today, so that should be released in the next couple of weeks. We have been a finalist in the U.S. Department of Transportation's Thriving Community Grant that we applied for back in December. It is a technical assistance grant for transportation planning. Because we submitted the project for the planning assistance for the mill property because there's so much that needs to happen and the timelines, all the development processes, the infrastructure requirements. It's a huge project, and so what they do is they match you with a company that provides those services. There's no match, there's nothing, it's a technical assistance, and I'm not quite sure how it works. I don't know when we'll know whether we've actually been selected or not, but we're a finalist. We had to submit the final letter of commitment. The Wrangell Chamber of Commerce and the Wrangell Cooperative Association are our partners in this, and they have both submitted the letters with us as well. So hopefully we can move forward on that. The Wrangell Convention and Visitors Bureau, well, actually, since right before COVID, had been working on what's called the Tourism Best Management Practices. They have got that to a finalized document. There's going to be a public meeting next week on that to make some changes or answer questions and refer to that. It's a voluntary program it doesn't mean there's a problem now. It's trying to address, because we're seeing an increase in cruise ship callings, it's trying to address what problems might come up and provide a process by which the public could call to say, hey, somebody did a great job, or somebody cut me off and I'm mad about it. And, you know, so there's information about how the public could comment on things that they might see that they were upset about. And so it's being proactive. Most of the communities in Southeast do have one of these. And it's just being proactive and trying to address potential conflicts that might happen in the coming years. So that public meeting will be next week. So if you have any other questions.
Assembly? I'll try to attend that meeting. Okay. For the tourism best practices. But the one thing I noticed, that they didn't address public restrooms.
No, it's not about infrastructure needs. It's about potential conflicts.
Well, I know, but that's what I'm saying, that I think businesses have a conflict with people coming in and requesting to use their restroom.
Oh, okay.
So I've heard about that.
Yeah. Okay.
So that just might be something
we can look at that. Absolutely.
Look at. And then under the Aldertop Village subdivision, the mitigation requirements for the wetlands.
Mm-hmm.
I did not expect that $148,000 price tag to mitigate the wetlands. And my question is that for phase one and two, or is that for the whole?
That's for phase one and two.
Just for phase one and two.
Yes. So okay. We're only proposing to move forward with the actual development of the lots for phase one, but the road goes through phase one and two, and those are the wetland requirements.
Okay. And then... The other question I have is for individual lots. With the property owner, do they have to undergo mitigation?
Potentially, depending on what they want to do. A lot of those lots could fall under a nationwide permit because I can't remember off the top of my head, there's so much of an acre falls under a nationwide permit where you're exempt from having to provide that. But if you go beyond that, then yes, there could be some mitigation requirements.
Okay, and we'll know more when we start getting the lots for sale and get the roads in and so forth.
Yes, as we start, so yes, yes.
Okay, and then the idea is to remove some of the alders so that people could get a good idea of lots and then do the roads at the same time?
More or less. The idea is to clear where the roads will be, and then the actual road development will come a little bit later as we put it out to bid from that point. So the clearing will likely happen first.
Okay.
So the ground disturbance will be this year, and then the actual road construction would be the following year.
The following year. Okay. All right. And this sort of ties in, but what about the industrial lots? We were going to do roads there and
yes.
Get power to them. Is that still on for this summer?
That's my understanding.
We think?
It's on the list.
On the list. Okay. All right. I'm pushing, I know, but...
We have to move it forward at some point because I believe our Corps of Engineers permits expires next year.
That's what I was wondering. Yeah. And this... credit is for 5 years that I'm talking about this mitigation for wetlands.
Our current Corps of Engineers permit for Aldershot Village is for 5 years.
For
yes.
5 years. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And you can get those extended if you're moving towards it and what have you, but yes.
Okay. But I read the manual from the Washington State. Very complicated.
Very complicated.
Are we wetlands... classification 1, 2, 3, or 4? Do you
everybody
know?
Does a little bit different.
Okay.
And so, but the wetlands analysis that was done out there, you have to value those wetlands and look at their what types of wetlands there are. There's palustrine. You can go forward. We had 24 acres of palustrine wetlands. There's forest wetlands. They all hold different values. So when it comes to adding up what your mitigation requirement is, it's based on the types of wetlands and the value they hold to that land.
Okay. Yep. All right. It sounds like it probably is a 1-to-1 ratio, too.
Actually, it's more than that.
It is? Okay. Assembly Member Dalrymple?
I have a question through you to Carol. On the archaeological monitoring for that, do we know what that involves and what the cost will be to that?
We have an estimate for the cost, but we don't know exactly yet. We're still working on the monitoring plan. That should be developed by the end of this month, at which point we need to submit that to the Corps of Engineers and to SHPO for their concurrence and approval on what will happen. What we're trying to do is have them on site while we're doing all of the clearing and the grubbing so that they don't have to come back later when we actually construct the roads.
So we would be paying this company, True North, or somebody?
Yes.
We on site anytime there was ground disturbance?
Hopefully only when we're doing the initial clearing and grubbing. That at this point is the plan. I have been working with Wrangell Cooperative Association, Esther, who they're actually making an application to a BIA grant. This was available last year, but I don't know if it's still available this year, but hopefully maybe they will be able to come up for the funds for the monitoring of it.
That would be good. Just to keep those costs down.
Right.
Thank you.
And then just one final thing that I forgot to mention earlier. Is it CTP grant that we applied for? We did get a call back from DOT just asking us if we would be willing to contribute a little bit more. I think right now it's 9% is what that's the minimum amount you have to contribute as part of that project. We think we had estimated $9 million. I think they estimated around eight, which puts us almost at 10%. If we get 10%, we get a lot more points. So we would need like another 25,000 to get more points to be able to compete for that project. I can give them a verbal saying, yeah, we would be willing to contribute 10%, which would give us more points. We still, I'm not sure if we still even compete, but we've at least advanced to the second phase for that. But they need an answer pretty much in the next couple of days to get back to them.
Yeah, that was the one where our match was a little over 9%, right? 9.09 or something percent. So you're saying that we could get more points towards the grant award.
If we contributed another $25,000.
So for $25,000, we could maximize to
on the $9 million prize.
On the
$8.3 million prize.
Does any assembly member have any?
And if they need a resolution, we can bring it back.
Problem with that? Can we give them a verbal go-ahead? Okay, I see. Assemblymember Robbins and Howe, do you agree that we could give the borough manager a verbal go-ahead?
Mind a thumbs up.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm fine.
All right.
Yes, I agree.
Okay, thank you. Okay, that's good. Okay. And for the public, let's tell them what that project is.
So that's for the commercial roads downtown to get those done.
Okay.
The laterals.
All right. Any other questions? Thank you. And do we have a financial report tonight?
I'll just keep it really short. I don't have like a formal. I kind of gave you my best earlier.
Do you want to tell the public, the listening public, that we held a workshop on rates and fee schedules?
Yeah, so at 6 o'clock we did a rates of our enterprise fund workshop and discussion on potential increases this year to address depreciation of our infrastructure and how to address further capital needs. Obviously, the cost of business has risen with inflation, so we will bring a formal proposal to the Assembly next meeting. Well, there'll be March 28th for a public hearing. Encourage everybody to show up and be here and attend. So that'll be then. Been working a lot on the budget. Plan on bringing that to you guys in April. I don't know that I want to go back and do the same process that we did last year. That was just a lot. We did like 15 hours of work sessions with the budget total. I think we could probably narrow it down to one work session, maybe two. And that's pretty conventional for most municipalities. Jody over in Petersburg gives a 45-minute one, and that's it. And so I think we can probably reduce the scope of that. But everything's going great. That'll coincide with our rates discussion, so I can put those target revenues in. Assessments were printed today. They'll be sent out on no later than March 20th, but probably this Friday. So you can expect those. They're green, so they'll be out in the mail, and encourage everybody to look at their assessment and for fairness, and if you believe it's not in the realm of equity, then to come to the finance department and request your neighbor's assessment and get all the tools you need to handle the Board of Equity or Board of Equalization hearings that'll happen in May, and we can give you further details. They're also a back page of your assessment. You'll note that there are procedures for the Board of Equity, Board of Equalization hearing, so you guys can be prepared for that. There's a lot of information on how assessments are composed. The borough doesn't create the assessments. I don't create the assessments. We have an independent firm that does that, Appraisal Company of Alaska. So if you noticed an increase on your assessment, it's just a result of market conditions and not a reflection of what me and the borough manager have done over the last few months. Insurance renewals, that's another hot topic right now. We're working through cybersecurity insurance, workers' comp insurance, health insurance, insurance of our vehicles and our mobile equipment and our buildings. So looking like an 8.5% to 10% increase, kind of similar rate as our rate discussion. So it kind of coincides with that. I'll have a further insurance discussion probably next work session on the 28th, but maybe delayed just because they're working with other municipalities too, trying to get to everybody. So we'll just get them in when we can. Investments, we invested $4.5 million in in corporate bonds this last Friday, which was like just dumb luck. I think we hit the market just right. After that, the news broke: Silicon Valley Bank defaulted, and the rates, the 1 year went from 5.2% down to 4.2% in one day. So we kind of nailed the timing on that. That'll generate $225,000 each year for the next 5 years. So that's really cool. So did good on that. Issuance of the audit, looking to issue by April 12th. I'm actually going to go up to Anchorage on April 12th to make sure all that's squared away. So you guys will get a new audit book, and everything's looking good. We're busy, but everything's going well in the finance department.
Cool.
Thank you.
Yep.
Anything else, Borough Manager?
That's all I have.
All right. Thank you. Borough Clerk's report, please.
Other than what's in my report, I don't have anything. We did have a code review committee meeting where Capital Facilities Director Aladad attended. Thank goodness, because she knows all about those building permits and stuff. So she's has some work, I think, in front of her. And then when she has that ready, she'll bring it back to us, or the code review committee. And then we'll bring it to the assembly in an ordinance. So, that's where we're at there.
All right. Any questions, Assembly? Assembly Member Morrison.
Just one thing under your report, Kim. We changed the Economic Development Committee meeting to the 21st.
Thank you for that.
All right. Mayor and Assembly Business. Any Assembly members have anything to report? Assembly Member Dalrymple.
Madam Mayor, just a comment for me. I've had the opportunity to look through the website that we have now, and thank you very much, Kim and others who updated that. It is so much easier and useful. I mean, it's simple. It displays when my brain works to go through it. So thank you very much for that. And we mentioned it earlier in the workshop, but I want to thank Jeff and the Public Works Department for the great work done on the snow removal in the last couple of weeks. Especially appreciate the sidewalk work. But been traveling around to some other towns that were suffering the same weather conditions, and we were far above anybody else that I noticed. So thanks.
Okay. Thank you. All right, Mayor and Assembly appointments, we have none, but we are still advertising for the public member of the community to be involved in our finance committee. All right, public hearing, 11A, ordinance number 1037 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending sections 3.15.010, Investment Committee, established, and 3.15.020, Annual Appointment and Consent in Chapter 3.15, Investment Committee in the Wrangell Municipal Code. I will open the public hearing and have an administrative report, please.
Mr. Mayor, this changes it from the Investment Committee to the Finance Committee. So probably a better representation of what is actually being done in that committee.
All right. And any comment from the public? Okay, hearing none, close the public hearing and entertain a motion.
Move to approve ordinance number 1037.
Second.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by Morrison. And the reason for the name change is that the Investment Committee has sort of spread out and increased their scope of interaction. And so hopefully we'll get some good finance suggestions back to the Assembly. And the Borough Manager sits on that committee, Finance Director, Assembly Member DeBoard, and Assembly Member Morrison, and I sit in on it too. So. All right, any questions? Assembly Member DeBoard.
I would like to amend this motion under C and remove the community member appointed by the mayor.
Okay, do you object to the community member or the appointment by the mayor?
The community, it's just been, what, a year that we've been trying to get somebody in there, and I just thought it was probably an ample time since we're looking at redoing this now to potentially remove that.
All right. The only problem is it's really not indicated in the agenda item that we could amend it other than the name.
Okay.
So I don't think we've given the public fair notice. I would object to that on that basis, but borough clerk?
So typically, if there's going to be an amendment to the ordinance, it would be done in the first reading, and that would be done by a motion, a second, and a vote. But that doesn't mean that in the future we can't bring something, another ordinance back.
Yeah.
So my suggestion would be to let's go ahead and advertise for the finance committee member for, you know, another month or two, see if somebody wants to step up.
Okay. We'll give it a few more months. All right. Any other comments, questions? All right. Hearing none, poll vote, please.
Yes. Assembly members DeBoer?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
David Powell?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Ryan Howe?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. We have nothing under unfinished business. Under 13A, new business. Ordinance number 1038 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending sections 13.05.010, permitted encroachments, and section 13.05.040, pre-existing encroachments, in chapter 13.05, encroachments in the borough right-of-way, and establishing a new process for these rates and fees in the Wrangell Municipal Code by adding the fees and rates to the established fee and rate schedule. No.
Move to approve first reading of ordinance number 1038. Move to a second reading with a public hearing to be held on March 28, 2023.
Second. Okay. Motion by Powell, second by Morrison. Administrative report, please.
Madam Mayor, just kind of what we've been doing all throughout is taking things out, trying to take things out of the ordinance and fee schedule, and this is for the fee for encroachments and encroachments in the right-of-ways, which I think is currently $50. So it would be just to take it out of the ordinance and put it in the rate and fee schedule.
Correct. And this is no change in the fee structure, just taking it from one code to the rate and fee schedule section.
Just like we did for the other permitted fees, we are going to raise this $100 on the rate and fee schedule when it comes to you at the next meeting.
Okay. All right. Any questions, comments? Okay. Poll vote, please.
Assembly members David Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Ryan Howe?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item B, resolution number 03-23-1758 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending FY 2023 budget in the Water Fund by transferring $115,161 from the Water Fund reserves to the Water Fund Equipment Repair and Maintenance line item for the ozone system spare parts and authorizing its expenditure.
Move to approve resolution number 03-23-1758.
Second.
Okay.
All right. Motion by Powell, second by Howe. Doing that on purpose. Borough manager. Borough report here.
Yes, Madam Mayor. As kind of mentioned in my talking points as well, and this just takes care of the mini sets and the reactors. So that's the cost for that. So the problems we're currently having is that won't cover that, but this will take care of the spare parts that we know we need, and we're going to need at least to get us through the next year before we actually get our new system. And then once we figure out what the new cost is going to be for fixing something in between, we'll bring that at the next assembly meeting for what that cost is going to be.
Okay. All right, and we've already been apprised of the new wrinkle in our ozone generator.
Madam Mayor.
Assembly Member Powell.
So my question is
Are these, what happens if we have to replace this whole machine? Is these parts going to be compatible with a new machine? Or what? I mean, I'm taking risks because we're not going to spend this money if tomorrow you find out that we are looking at $300,000 or $400,000.
No, these parts are compatible. You know, as long as we have the same machine, you can pull them out and put them in any other machine.
Okay.
And we're not going to be using ozone in the new system, so this is really just to get us through until we're able to build a new plant.
And I've asked this question before, but I'm fairly certain they're the same model, aren't they?
Yes.
In the same year.
I think they're the GM 48 is the model.
Okay.
Primazone is the manufacturer.
Right. All right. Any other questions or comments? Assembly Member DeBoard?
Just a comment. This is a pretty expensive Band-Aid, and we've done quite a few of these, so the quicker we can get the new plant, the better, because it kind of gives me heartburn, especially knowing if we're not going to ever use it again another year, that we're spending $100,000 just on this and not knowing what the other issue is going to be, and we're going to eventually throw it away in a couple of years. So I'd love to see that money go to the new plant more than to the old plant. The faster we can go, the better.
Yes, and I always thought we could perhaps sell it, but knowing how fragile this system is, it's pretty temperamental. I'm not even sure we could.
I mean, we'll definitely explore all of those options and any money we can recuperate out of this system. You know, the compressors, they're way beyond useful lifespan. You're not going to get anything out of those. Whereas, you know, the generators and the skeletons and some of those components, it's possible that we could recuperate some of that cost, but I couldn't give anybody an exact figure on that right now.
Right. Well, and then I also thought, that secondary sanitation of our wastewater, it could be maybe implemented in that area, but that's another story. So I was thinking of trying to save money. All right, any other questions, comments? All right, poll vote, please.
Assembly Members DeBoard?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Ryan Howe?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
David Powell?
Yes.
And Mayor
Gilbert? Yes. 13C, resolution number 03-23-1759 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending the FY 2023 budget in the Residential Construction Fund by accepting revenue from the sale of a Byford replat, lot YB, in the amount of $120,000.
Move to approve resolution number 03-23-1759.
Second.
Okay, motion by Morrison, second by Powell. This is good news, Borough Manager.
Mayor, yes, just tells us where we need to put the money from our sale of that Byford property.
Sounds like it's going into the ozone.
if only we could do that, but it's going into the residential lot.
Yeah.
And Borough Manager, for the public, that money will help us develop the
Institute property. Which is what we're working on. So
funds. Right. So we're having our money work for us. In the meantime, we'll probably invest it. All right. Any other discussion? All right. Poll vote, please.
Assembly Members Robbins?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Ryan Howe?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
David Powell?
Yes.
DeBoard?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item D, resolution number 03-23-1760 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, providing for a change for grade 28 in the non-union wage and grade table and providing for an effective date.
Move to approve resolution number 03-23-1760.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by Morrison. Administrative report, please.
Yes, Madam Mayor. So whenever we went through the audit, it was actually caught that whenever the wage and grade tables were changed, it was actually changed correctly in AccuFund. So the person was actually getting paid correctly. However, it wasn't changed correctly in our wage and grade table whenever those percentages were increased. So AccuFund was correct. our wage and grade table wasn't, so this just gets our wage and grade table to where it needs to be to match what it should have been.
Okay. Then this is just a housekeeping item. Any questions?
Comments?
All right. Poll vote, please.
Yes. Assembly members Morrison?
Yes.
Ryan Howe?
Yes.
Damerkel?
Yes.
David Powell?
Yes.
DeBort?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
And Mayor Keller?
Yes. Item E, resolution number 03-23-1762 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, providing for an amendment to the employee handbook and providing for an effective date.
Move to approve resolution number 03-23-1762.
Second.
Okay. Motion by Powell, second by Morrison. All right, administrative report.
Madam Mayor, so the way it was previously written in the handbook is basically someone could cash out their vacation time once per year. That is a liability that the city and borough have. What we would like to do is make it that they can do it once a quarter, which gives them more opportunities throughout the year in case they need it to be able to cash out some of the vacation time that they've already earned. So just more opportunities for the employees to be able to do that.
Assembly Member Morrison.
Question?
Yes.
That's just if they have over 80 hours.
Correct. So they have to maintain the 80 hours. Anything over that, then they can cash out. But we want them to have a certain amount that they do have to maintain, which is 80 hours.
Okay.
Assembly Member Dalrymple.
To follow up on that, vacation is usually to ensure people have vacation, not as a subsidization of their salaries. How does this work to ensure that they get adequate vacation? Is that the 80 hour?
It is. It's
that
the
they would
hours.
Get that, and then above that would be could be cash.
The
quarterly.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
And Assembly Member Powell.
So isn't this also an non-negotiated agreement? This mimics the negotiated agreement, isn't it?
I don't think so.
No, so I don't think they comment. There's no cash out clause in this collective bargaining agreement at all. They rely on the handbook for this one.
Okay. Typically, anything to do with the wages and all that stuff, I personally would like to look at this a little closer and look at a negotiated agreement. And because normally when we go into stuff like this, it's in our negotiations, and we negotiate out this. I mean, I'm not trying to say don't do it. I'm not too sure if we don't want to look at this as something to negotiate, because you are changing what we do. We don't typically change anything with this kind of stuff out of negotiations. So I'm kind of leery to do this without more information, and I didn't get a chance today to look at a negotiated agreement, but I would like to look at it and discuss that a little bit further before we do something like this. And that's the only reason, is because we have negotiations coming up, and it's a negotiation. So, I mean, if it's a benefit to the our employees, then it is a negotiation. So I'm really leery of changing anything to do with fee or money going out or vacation and all that stuff without looking at negotiations.
Any other comment?
And I must admit, I was going to look this up in our negotiated agreement, and I did not. It slipped by me. We may not want to take the time.
We can take a recess if you want.
Why don't we bring this back? Would you object to that?
Madam Mayor?
Yeah.
I agree. I believe it's probably not in the negotiated agreement. But typically, anytime we change something, even in the handbook in the past,
yeah,
it has been done during negotiation times, not just done through us talking. Because I don't want to say it like this, but if you could use this in negotiations, that's why you leave these things out and you do them in a negotiation time. Because if it's a benefit, then I mean, I don't know how you ever say it, but then we use this to give intake. That's what it's done. That's why negotiations are negotiations. So I'm really leery of doing this outside of negotiations. Whether it's in their negotiation agreement or not, it's gonna, once you put it in the handbook, then it goes to the union and they're gonna approve it too, and it's out of negotiations. So that's where I'm going with. I believe it's not in there. I believe Mason 100%. I'm just saying I do not like the idea of doing something like this for our handbook and not doing it during negotiation time.
Well,
I'm not opposed to it, but I have not done any research on it. I would like to know. There's a lot of questions I have. I mean, I have these questions and I didn't have a chance to look at them up today, but there's a lot of, they have 540 hours, and you could take that down 80 hours, 80 hours, 80 hours. There's a benefit for that. There's also a benefit. I can't go too far because it's negotiation. I can't say this in the public like this, so I'm sorry.
Okay. Usually, the negotiated agreement drives the employee handbook.
Exactly.
But in the last couple of years, the employee handbook has never been really revised. It took us how many years mm-hmm. to get it to this point, which we are eternally grateful. So there's been a breakdown, not on your administration, but in the past, there's been a breakdown on getting that employee handbook to us. So I think we should continue to have the employee handbook being driven by our negotiated agreement. So as much as it pains me, I agree with Assembly Member Powell on this aspect. I like the idea of taking that off our books and taking that financial liability off of our books. And it is a nice benefit to the employee. It is more time and effort on the finance director's part, you know, to keep track of everything. But I don't want anyone to suggest we postpone it indefinitely, but why don't?
I would suggest either I'm sorry, my mind just went blank. Voting it down would be a good idea, I'm so sorry.
Well, I always hate to vote something down. I would rather table it for.
I would postpone it indefinitely then.
All right. Well, that kills it then, and then we can bring it back. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Rather than vote it down. What does the rest of the assembly feel about this? Assembly Member Dalrymple?
I would like to have more information and think about it. If I'm reading this right, we are defaulting to what's in the handbook right now, right? And we're trying to adjust that.
Correct.
So that's what it would be. And that is not a bad thing. It's just that this is to address an inefficiency in that, I guess. So the harm of waiting, I don't think is that bad. It doesn't. There's no dire need for this right now. Right?
No.
I'd be willing to vote it down, to table it indefinitely.
Okay, postpone it.
Postpone.
Indefinitely. Any other comments? Okay, we need probably someone to make that motion to postpone indefinitely.
I'll make a motion to postpone this indefinitely.
I'll second it.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by Morrison. So this supersedes the original motion. So we're voting to postpone indefinitely, which means we've killed the motion. everyone understand. Any questions? Assemblymember Powell?
So, correct. So this is something that we could bring this motion back in a couple months?
You can.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I want to know.
And what I was thinking about was to withdraw the motion.
Yeah.
This is fine, too.
Yeah. And we have to vote, yeah. Yeah. Okay, any other questions? Okay, poll vote, please.
Assemblymembers Ryan Howell?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
David Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Robbins?
No.
Morrison?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item F, approval of a professional services agreement with respect in the amount of $59,169 for the underground storage tanks replacement project.
Move to approve a professional service agreement with respect in the amount of $59,169 for the underground storage tanks replacement project.
Okay, we have a motion by Powell, second by Dalrymple. Administrative report.
All right, so we've had this project we've been trying to work on. Respect has done a lot of the preliminary work on it. And now we're under a very tight timeline. Actually, today's our date. We need to get this awarded so that we can get it to the state for their DEC requirements. They need to see progress, and we haven't had a lot of progress on this project. If we don't get this done, then we could technically be in violation, and then we'd get a notice of violation, which then could come with fines. So we're trying to stay ahead of that, get this awarded, which would then give us the path forward for the underground storage tanks, both with Public Works and with the school.
Okay. And any other questions? We talked about this with the school district when we had that workshop. Any questions? Comments? Okay, poll vote, please.
Yes, Assemblymembers Dalrymple?
Yes.
David Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Ryan Howell?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Attorney's file available for assembly review. No executive session. We are going to adjourn at 8:17.